Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Q2 and H1 FY 2024 earnings conference call of Flair Writing Industries Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Irfan Raeen from Orient Capital. Thank you, and over to you.
Thank you, Yashashri. Good afternoon, everyone. Myself, Irfan Raeen from Orient Capital. We are the investor relation advisor to the company. On behalf of Flair Writing Industries Limited, I extend a very warm welcome to all participants on Q2 and H1 FY 2024 financial results discussion call. Today on the call, we have Mr. Vimalchand Rathod, Managing Director, Mr. Sumit Rathod, Whole-time Director, Mr. Mohit Rathod, Whole-time Director, Mr. Mayur Gala, Chief Financial Officer. I would like to give a short disclaimer before we begin the call. This call may contain some of the forward-looking statements, which are completely based upon our belief, opinion, and expectation as of today. These statements are not a guarantee of our future performance and involve unforeseen risks and uncertainties. With this, I would like to hand over the call to MD, sir. Over to you, sir. Thank you.
Thank you, Irfan. Good afternoon, everyone. I hope everyone had an opportunity to go through our investor presentation and press release that we have uploaded on the exchange and on the company's website. I want to express my gratitude to the entire capital market fraternity, with a special mention to our shareholders for their enthusiastic reception of our IPO. Our IPO was subscribed 49 times. We appreciate the strong faith in our company business. We are dedicated and focused on growing substantially in the upcoming years, and we remain steadfast in our mission to consistently generate value for all our stakeholders over the long term. Given this in our maiden call subsequently to our IPO, it is valuable to spend some time delving into our company's story and provide a concise overview of the products we manufacture, our famous brands, and our immense strength in distribution network. I trust this will be helpful to all the participants to dive into the aspect of our business to present a clear picture for everyone interested in the growth story of our company. Ours has been a journey of 49 years in the making, starting with Flair brand products. Since then, we have continued to grow from strength to strength and now are amongst the top three organized players in the writing instrument segments in the domestic market, as per the CRISIL's report, and largest manufacturer of pens in India. This is all thanks to our brand focus and on our expanding products portfolio, which is ably supported by an extensive distribution network and state-of-the-art manufacturing capabilities, offering quality products. I will now discuss each of those in more detail. Company being a primarily writing instruments player, we recognize that there are varying customers profile and needs across different price points, and thus instead of creating a one-size-one-fit-all brands, we had taken the decision to build multiple brands, each consciously creating to address the market throughout the segment's trend. Our flagship brand, Flair, has enjoyed a market presence of over 45 years and caters to the mass and mid-premium market. The other principal brands, Hauser, has presence across mass, mid-premium and premium category, with Flair, with Pierre Cardin being solely focused on the premium end of the market. Our recently introduced brand, Jux, will focus on the mid-premium segment, and so as one may appreciate, we have managed to cater to all brands while ensuring coverage in brand level. All brands are owned by the company. In FY 21, we also launched a range of products under Flair Creative beyond our traditional offering of writing instruments. Under the Flair Creative brands, we sell watercolors, crayons, sketch pens, erasers, wooden pencils, and geometric boxes, fine liners, sharpeners, and scales. In fact, Flair Creative contributes to ₹112 crores in top line in just in second year of its operation in 2022, reflecting the strength of the Flair brand and its depth in the distribution network. Our product offering includes pen products, ball pen, fountain pens, gel pens, roller pens and metal pens, which is our largest category in terms of number of products offered. We have expanded our product portfolio beyond pens and into stationary products in mechanical pens like mechanical pencil, wooden pencil, highlighters, correction pens, markers, gray crayons, and kids stationary kits, calculators, etc. We have achieved industry-leading growth in the writing instrument segment. In fact, we continue to consolidate a better product mix of mass, mid-premium and premium products as compared to the industry peers. And this is reflected in our financial performance too, with industry-leading material margins, EBITDA, and PAT margins. As per our strategy to move beyond writing instruments, we have forayed into manufacturing of steel bottles and houseware products through our subsidiaries FCIPL and FWEPL, respectively. As for steel bottles, we have received a letter of intent from one of our key OEM customers with whom our company has a relationship of more than 15 years. Our regular outsourcing as part of China Plus One strategy, and for us, Make in India strategy, as is highly unorganized and over 80% of the import depends market in India. We foresee that this segment will contribute meaningfully to the next leg of our growth, houseware products including casseroles, bottles, storage containers, serving solutions, cleaning solutions and baskets and paper bins have been introduced to support the setting up strong distribution network of water bottles, which will be our core focus. The rationale behind the diversification beyond pens is to leverage our strong brand visibility, distribution network and manufacturing facility. This will help us provide across a wide customer base and in step forward diversifying our products portfolios. Our manufacturing setup includes 11 manufacturing plants in India, including 3 plants in Valsad, Gujarat, 1 plant in Naigaon, Maharashtra, 5 plants in Daman and 2 plants in Dehradun, Uttarakhand. The current annual capacity stands at over 2 billion pens with a capacity utilization at 74.49 in 2023. We intend to use a portion of net proceeds towards funding capital expenditure of our company to set up a new manufacturing facility of writing instruments and play creative product in a Valsad district. We will also incur capex to increase our in-house manufacturing of tips capacity to supplement our present tips manufacturing, which caters to over 70% of our captive requirements and gives a clear edge against competitors on ability to give wide variety of products apart from contribution to higher margins. For the manufacturing of steel bottles and manufacturing line, we have commissioned in month of March 23, we have processed of commissioning 2 more manufacturing lines during the third quarter of financial year 2024 at our manufacturing plant in Valsad, Gujarat. We have the largest distribution network amongst the key players in the industry. It is a very extensive and multi-tiered network covering the pen India. The distribution network consists of superstockists, distributors, direct dealers, wholesalers and retailers. As of financial year 2023, our market reaches 315,000 plus wholesalers and retailers and 7,700 domestic dealer distributors, supported by 145 superstockists. Our retail distribution presence spans to more than 2,400 cities, towns and villages. Besides traditional distribution channels, our products are also sold through modern retail outlets as well as e-commerce platforms. Our multi-tiered nationwide domestic sales and distribution network enable our products to reach a wide range of customers and help us ensure effective market preparations across the geographic monitored by sales apps as part of ERP. Clare pioneered exports of writing instruments in India in 1980 and has been the largest exporter of major parts of 40 years and award winners. The export to over 85 countries and over 5 markets are USA, Japan, UAE, Yemen and Brazil. We are a 2-star export house and have 20% of our sales coming from exports. We are emulating our Indian distribution strength to have appointed 54 international distributors, which has reflected in our own brand export increasing from 49% to pre-COVID to 58% compared to our export in OEM customer, which is now at 42%. Our focus will be to increase our own brand sales consistently compared to OEM. We will focus on growing our existing product portfolio and diversifying of our product range, emphasizing on mid-premium segments and premium segments to increase margins, increase production capacity as per plan, and enhance capacity utilization. Strategically expand exports, generate more sales, our outlets from our deep sales and distribution network, and further strengthen our brands. I will now hand over to Mr. Mayur Dalla, our CFO, to discuss the financial performance.
Thank you. Good afternoon, everyone. Moving to the consolidated performance of the company for quarter 2, FY24, revenue from operations for the quarter was Rs. 257 crores, up by 4.2% on quarter-on-quarter basis. EBITDA for quarter 2, FY24, was 53.8 crores, a growth of 2.9% on quarter-on-quarter basis. EBITDA margin was 20.9 percentage points. PAT for the quarter was 33.2 crores, an increase of 3.2% on quarter-on-quarter basis. PAT margin for quarter 2 was 12.9% for the half year ended 30th September 2023. Revenue from operations was Rs. 503.7 crore. EBITDA was 106.2 crore with EBITDA margin of 21.1%. Profit after tax was Rs. 65.3 crore with a PAT margin of 12.9%. We have spent around Rs. 48 crores during the first half of the fiscal year towards our capex requirement. Our debt to equity remains comfortable at 0.33. Current ratio remains greater than 2 at 2.05, signaling strength in the company's liquidity position. Now I request the moderator to open the floor for questions and answer sessions.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and 1 on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and 2. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. We have a first question from the line of Amit Mantri from 2.2 Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Firstly, congratulations on the IPO and the listing for the team. My question is on the seasonality in the business. Is there any kind of seasonality in the business that the first half is stronger because of back to college or back to school kind of trends? Or are in some products at least, do you see such kind of seasonality?
Hello. Thank you for the question. There is no major seasonality in the business. With the diverse, range of schools and offices and, colleges, now majorly the first half is around in the range of 46-47% and, the remaining is in the range of 50-53%. So more or less, it's, you can say from a overall perspective, it's more or less, evenly shared between the first quarter and second, first half and the second half. But of course, a few percentage is higher in the second half, and majorly, even in the second half, the last quarter plays a little major role in terms of sales as compared to the overall other quarters.
And what's the reason for Q4 being such a what kind of seasonality? What's the event that is playing a role for that Q4 being strong?
So one of the reasons is Q4 being strong is even the export market opens during the Q4 a little stronger, and also because of exams of certain colleges and schools. So that gives us a little small percentage boost in the last quarter.
Okay. Thank you. Very helpful. Good luck to the team.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, to ask a question, please press star and 1 on your phone now. We have our next question from the line of Ankit Kedia from Philip Capital. Please go ahead.
Okay. So can you please share the YOY growth for the quarter or for the first half? And what has been the volume growth or realization in the pen category for the quarter?
If you take the corresponding previous figure for half year ended 30th September, revenue from operations was in the range of 450 crore. These are all based on the unaudited numbers. EBITDA was in the range of 78 crore, which is in the percentage term 17.3%, and profit after tax at 48.3 crore. If you translate the growth vis-a-vis H1 of FY22 vis-a-vis FY of 23, turnover will be showing a growth of 13 percentage points, as in the 34% of EBITDA and 35% growth in the PAT. And in terms of the volume growth for half year one, it is in the range of 3% for the volume growth, and 13% is for the revenue growth.
And so this is for the overall business, or this is only for the pens category and not for non-pens like creatives, calculators, and you know, household items as well?
This is the overall for the company as such. It includes creative business also, it includes pen business also, and it includes non-writing instrument business also.
And sir, can you share separately for pens, how has been the realization growth for the pens category and the volume growth if possible?
See, the overall pen growth has been in the similar range as the creative range also. And if you take the other in terms of the revenue per piece, it has increased from 5 rupees to 5.33 and 5.52 in half year.
And so going forward, are we looking at further price increases or you know, now this 13% kind of a growth, so you know, 10% realization or mix change which we have has broadly been captured in the business?
See, historically also we have been growing in the range of 14 to 15%. If I take a CAGR from FY17 to FY23, we have grown in the range of 14% as against the industry average growth of 5.5%.
Sure. I'll come back in the queue, sir. Thank you so much.
Thank you. We have a next question from the line of Jaspreet Arora from Equentis PMS. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Good evening, everyone, and thanks for the opportunity. You mentioned the growth in first half, revenue was 13%, 1.3, and EBITDA was 34%. Did I hear that right?
Yes.
Okay. So, in terms of the full year, would the aspiration be something similar in terms of the growth numbers?
Aspiration is definitely higher, and we will be maintaining the similar type of growth, yes.
Okay. Thanks for that. The other question was, what's the share currently from the steel bottles and houseware products? The revenue share?
So steel bottle is something that we will be commencing. We have commenced first line, but we will be starting the sales in majorly in the Q4 of this.
Okay.
And houseware currently is a very significant role in the overall business. Currently, it contributes only 7 crores of the total sales.
7 crores out of 244 crores done last quarter?
22-23 number was 7 crores.
Achha, 7 crores is from last year?
Yeah.
And how much was the first half?
So currently in the first half, it is in the range of around 6.85 crores to be precise.
Okay. Are there more such products that are in the pipeline which will help us diversify our product basket?
So we are in the process of generating a range of course, stainless steel products for the domestic market as well. Other than the products that we are have in a almost in the commencement for the export market. And also, definitely we will be increasing certain range of the household product for the domestic market as well.
Okay. And within stationery, are there products that offer opportunity that we are currently not present in?
So if you talk about the creative or the stationery range itself is a very big portfolio. So yes, going forward we will be adding more and more products to our overall catalog.
Okay, how do you break your break this space? Is it primarily creative and writing instruments? Is that how we break it?
Yeah, it is a part of the entire writing instrument industry. So creative is a part of that category.
What's the share of creative with and the core stationery? What is the share currently?
For our business,
for us, yeah, revenue share, yeah.
It is 13% of the total revenue in first half of FY24.
13%, 1-3.
Yes, 1-3.
That's creative, and the other is the core stationery products, right?
Yeah, yes.
Okay. I'll get back in queue, sir. Yeah, thank you so much.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Aditya Sharma from Aditya Birla AMC. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thanks for the opportunity. In your remarks, you highlighted that the growth rates for both the pens, the writings, and the creative has been in the similar range. We were on the other hand were expecting that the creative as a range would go significantly faster, almost around 2x the growth rate of pen. So if you could just highlight on that part.
So currently for the creative range in particular, the creative category if I say in particular, we are in the scope of adding capacity in terms of increasing the kind of products that we want to add in the product portfolio. So in the coming times, once the setup and the facility is ready, we will be adding more significant growth to this particular category.
So any timelines for that? And before also we were just doing 20% around in-house manufacturing, rest was outsourced. So are we seeing some challenge there? So if you could just help us see what if the supply is basically a challenge or the in-house manufacturing, when are we looking to address, when the debottlenecking is?
So definitely there's no challenge in terms of adding the capacity. We are already in the process. There already has been certain products that we have added for which in the coming quarter you will see it being a part of the creative sales as a product line. And even going further beyond that, we will be adding more and more products, which is almost in the pipeline and will be in a significant play in quarter four and in the next year as well.
Okay. And also wanted to understand the steel bottles when we were, so we talked about that we have added lines. Just wanted to understand when would be all the three lines becoming operational and started, will start kicking in. So what is the timeline there, sir?
So first line we have just commenced and we have done a trial order to one of our OEM customers. In the quarter four and going forward, the first line will give us start the business. And for the line two and three, that will happen in the almost in first quarter of 2024.
Okay. Sure, sir. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Vikas Jain from Reliance Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good afternoon, sir. So I think the question has been answered for the steel bottles which I wanted. So if you can throw some light in terms of the revenue potential, you said that it will be started from Q4 of FY23. But if you can throw back ahead of something, what could be the revenue potential for the next year?
I cannot give potential, but looking at it that, we have already have a, whole project and idea in place, and that's the reason we have put in already three lines in process. So we are quite confident that in the coming quarter and next year we'll have a significant contribution from this particular category.
Okay, but if you can throw some light in terms of by what time all the three lines could be ready?
So I will say, so line one is we have just started the, you know, the trial production, and we have already sent our trial order to one of our OEM customer. So Q4 is something that we'll see the revenue from line one. And for line two and three, for 24 first quarter is where we are looking at, you know, having the commencement of those two lines.
So what would be the line one capacity?
Line one capacity gives us around in the range of, 70 to 80,000 bottles. But that also depends on the kind of a design and the product that we are trying to manufacture in that line. Because these lines and the kind of setup that we have put are kind of something that we gives us the flexibility to create new product every now and then.
Okay, and all these things are for export, nothing for the domestic?
No, so we will be doing domestic market as well, which will be significantly more in 2024, because as you know, the domestic market itself is a very big and diverse and a growing market for this particular category, especially since the trend from plastic bottles is shifting to the stainless steel bottles.
Okay. Thanks a lot. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, to ask a question, please press star and one on your phone now. We'll take our next question from the line of Grishma Shah from Envision Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon. Thanks for taking my question. So if you could highlight over the years, what has been the contribution of new products towards sales? And what has been the key reason for the growth in, EBITDA, which is much, much higher than the sales growth?
If you look at the new products as such, the products, it means top 10 new products roughly fetches us 20-25% of the revenue. And in terms of the gross margin, our product means, mass and the mid-premium and the premium segment, we are almost having a good ratio, healthy ratio in terms of the mid-premium and the premium products. And that is the reason why our gross margins are higher.
Okay, so that's the change between this year and last year.
Yes.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Manav Vijay from Deep Financial Consultants. Please go ahead.
Thank you very much. Sir, first of all, if you can explain us regarding the overall environment that you are witnessing in the regarding the demand, both on the domestic side as well as on the export side, because one of the competitors, when they declared their quarter two results on the export side specifically, they faced some challenges. You guys also had those challenges. If yes, if you can explain something of that sort, sir, both on domestic and on exports.
So we have very good relations with our OEM, and as well as, like we mentioned, that we have a very strong distribution network in the export market. So around 54 areas, we have distributors which primarily focus on selling our brands, which is Flair Hauser and Flair Creative and Hauser Arts in the export market. So that gives us a little edge and advantage of pushing our own brands rather than depending completely on the OEM customer. Of course, overall, when you say, even in the recent time, our own brand sale has increased as compared to previous year. So earlier, the contribution was around 49% from our own brands, which has gone up to around 58% in the export market.
Okay, and on the domestic side, how is the environment shaping up?
So domestic, as you know, the entire industry is having a growth pattern in the coming years, and we, being one of the industry leaders in the pen category, we have shown historically a stronger growth as compared to the market expectation. And even currently, even if you see our current results, we Mr. Miru mentioned, we are on the similar range of a track record of what we have done during our previous years.
Sure. Now, regarding these three bottle, three lines So out of which first has become operational, two will become operational, which is quarter one. So these three lines can generate what kind of sales in FY25?
So giving you a revenue number is restricted, but I would say volume-wise, we are expecting to manufacture a minimum range of 60 to 80,000 bottles per line, and that's the kind of focus, and we think the market grab will be from our own brands, which we are trying to leverage on Flair in the domestic market, and also for the export market. Like we said, we have a very strong OEM relationship, and also because we have 54 distributors in various countries, so that also will give us edge to push those steel bottle product line in the export market as well.
So when you say 80,000 bottles per line, this is basically per annum.
This is a kind of a monthly capacity.
Monthly capacity.
Yes. So because as you see, even for the export market and for India market, especially for India, a lot of import was happening from China. And now with the new restrictions and, even for the export market, for a lot of countries, it's like more like China plus one strategy. So almost 80-85% material in India were getting imported from China. And now with the new restrictions coming up with the BIS certification, this will give us edge, having a made in India product, especially for the domestic market.
Okay. My next question is that, so if I just let's look at the numbers that you provided for H1 FY23, so in H1 you had 17.3% margin, and if you just in H2 the margins were 21.4, so there was margins were almost up by 20%. Now here in H1 we have done around 21% kind of a margin. So you believe that this H1 margins are sustainable in H2 as well?
Normally the margins that we try, the products and the margin and the product mix that we are trying to do for the premium strategy, we normally the same type of margins we can continue in H2 also.
Okay. And if you can just also help to understand, last year H1 was 17, H2 was 21. 4% margin is a substantially higher margin. So that higher margin came because of what? Raw material advantage, premium products, or anything else that can explain?
It was a mix of everything. Like a certain amount of margin, maybe 60 to 70% came from the raw material also, and the balance came from the economies of scales also, and premiumization strategy also.
Okay. Maybe one last thing from my side. I think you're supposed to pay out 44 or 45 crores of loan from the IPO proceeds. Has that been done?
Yes, we have repaid 43 crores of the term loan. We have also increased the working capital repayment by 44 crores also. Yes, it has been done.
So around 90 crores of loan has been repaid.
Yes,
already been paid.
Yes.
Because your quarter two balance sheet shows a total debt of around 160, so out of which you are saying 90 has been paid. So what is left is only 70 crores.
No. Quarter two balance sheet, the debt is in the range of 135 crore, out of which 90 crores has already been paid. And the total debt as on the current date we are speaking is roughly in the range of 46 to 47 crore.
Okay. And what is the capex commitment for H2 and FY25?
If you look at the total capex requirement, in FY24, we are roughly planning to have a capex of 27 crores. And FY25, we are planning to have a capex of 60 crores. This is towards the greenfield expansion and brownfield expansion both.
But you have already spent 48 crores in H1.
Yes.
From 27 crores for FY24?
No, this 48 crores was not the part of the IPO capacity. It was a normal capacity expansion that we do. And basically, these 48 crores of the capacity addition was towards the brownfield expansion for the other units. There was no major capacity addition in terms of these 48 crores as such. And going forward, whatever we do, there will be a pure capacity addition.
Okay, so so that means that are 90 crores between now and FY25, 18 months.
Yes. Plus, we are also planning to construct a one new manufacturing building in Valsad. The roughly the building cost and the other machinery cost for that building will be in the range of 60 crores also.
So that forms part of the 60 crores for FY25 or that is over and above?
For FY25 and FY26.
Okay. And what is that you intend to have over there? Bottles or pens?
No, it will be only for the pure writing instruments with a little bit of creative also. And outside also, yes.
So it will mix up all the products that you have. Am I right? So it will be a mix of all the products that you have currently.
It will be a mix of all product line that we have, which will contribute to each and every product category that we are into. And also, of course, like we mentioned, that there will be a real focus on creating the manufacturing base for the creative range.
Sure. Thank you, all the best, guys.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Tirth Gosar from Swan Investments. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. I just have a question regarding the steel bottles. So I just wanted to understand why did you directly move ahead with putting in a manufacturing line instead of getting it manufactured from someone else or outsourcing the manufacturing? Why did you put in a line?
So the one of the reasons that we started manufacturing is a part of it is because we have a very strong OEM customer who had a requirement for this particular product line. And also if you see overall from the global market perspective, other than China, there are not many countries who are in this particular category in terms of manufacturing. And especially for this particular product, like mentioned earlier, there was a major import happening in the domestic market from China. And with the going forward, the BIS certification and also the limitation of importing steel products from China, this gives us the advantage of having a manufacturing base in India. So because this category itself is almost around 4,000 crore category, which is pegged to become 8,000 crore category in the coming years. So this gives us a good advantage having a manufacturing base and leveraging on a brand for the domestic market and also for the export market. So because we had such a strong relationship with that OEM customer for more than 15 years, and as their China Plus One strategy, they gave us the opportunity to manufacture this particular product. And when we did our analysis, it was a complete win-win for not only exploring the export market, but also penetrating ourselves into the domestic market.
So you intend to be a part of the B2B market of this segment and not the B2C?
Yes, so we'll be targeting, penetrating our brands in the domestic market for sure. And for that, having a manufacturing base was, almost mandatory.
Okay. And so will you need to expand your distribution channel for this new product or will your existing distribution channel will suffice?
No, so part of it will be going through our current distribution channel because a lot of these, if you see a lot of these A category distribution retail stores, they do keep steel bottles and steel lunch boxes part of their overall stationery category for the kids. And also there's a lot of sale of this particular product from the online and the modern trade platform. But yes, going forward, we are developing the household range and we are creating a kind of a network for, which will help us when we are ready with our steel bottles, which will help us penetrate in the domestic market with that particular network. So it's a combination of something that we will be developing and also a new network that we are developing and also we will be using our existing network and connections in terms of modern trade, e-commerce and those big stationery retailers.
Okay. So my last question regarding this would be, how do you plan to compete in this market, which is filled with a lot of unorganized players?
So one of the key advantage that we'll be having is the manufacturing base in India. And like I said, almost 80%-90% of the market is covered with China imports today. And with the restriction of China imports and having a manufacturing base will give us a huge advantage in having the product range that we need for the domestic market. So at the same time, because our strong presence and recollection of our brand, we will have that advantage penetrating and making a shelf space into the domestic market.
No, I had a different understanding. I thought that Milton, Cello, and a lot of other players were into this space. So you were saying 90% of the bottles currently being sold are imports?
Right. Around 80%-90% are imports.
Okay. Thank you.
They're double vacuum bottles.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Before we take the next question, we'd like to remind participants to press star and one to ask a question. We have a question from the line of Drisha Poddar from Carnelian Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hi. Thanks for taking my question. I wanted to understand, referring to also the previous participant asked that, what kind of growth have you seen in the creative segment in the first half, and what kind of growth rates are we expecting in the creative segment in the next 2 to 3 years?
See, in the first half of FY24, we in creative range, we are seeing a growth of 20%. And going forward also, we see the similar line of growth in the coming years.
Okay. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Rajesh Vora from Jainam Ventures. Please go ahead.
Congrats, gentlemen, for good set of numbers. So Sumit, you mentioned about steel bottles. Three lines are going to be installed. So each of these lines will have the same capacity, 60,000-70,000 lines per month?
So these particular lines are very versatile, and it definitely depends on the model. But going from the average understanding of the product range, yes, it will be all three lines will be giving a similar kind of capacity. Unless and until there's a very different kind of a product or different size of a product. So that differs maybe in the range of 5%-10% in terms of capacity.
Okay. And what is the average selling price for these bottles, roughly?
Sorry?
What is the average selling price? I mean, I'm trying to understand what is the revenue potential of this 60%.
So we are not present in the domestic market. Our first line category is more towards the export market. But overall, if you see from the investment perspective, it gives us asset turnover of almost 3.5 to 3.75 times. So that's the kind of a category or that's the kind of a product line we have stepped into.
Okay. And how much we are planning to invest in these three lines, roughly?
So this for this particular line, we have already invested CapEx for the three lines. And for the future growth, as this business grows, there will be from the self-accrual of this particular business. And the future growth will happen from that.
Sure. So for these three lines, how much we have already invested?
So in this three particular lines, we have almost invested around 40 crores.
40 crores. Okay. Okay. And how are the margins in this business? OEM, I would imagine, would be a bit lower margins than B2C when you get into it. But is this three lines only for the OEM customer or only the first line is for the OEM customer?
So all the three lines set up is like a combination for the export and the domestic market. But in particular, the line one, which we have already commenced trial manufacturing, that is dedicated towards the OEM customer. And going forward, line two and line three will be a combination of export as well as the domestic market because the domestic market itself is a very huge consumer of these particular product range. And when you talk about the overall margins, the margins are more or less on the similar lines for export and domestic market currently. And it is again in our overall theory of around 21% from the overall perspective as a business.
Okay, that's useful. And how much, last point, how much percent of revenue can this steel bottle category be over the next 3 years as you see today?
So, like I said, we cannot actually give a forward-looking number, but going forward as a business, we do see this particular category to become a significant share of our overall top line.
Okay. Thank you so much and all the best.
So much.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, to ask a question, please press star and one on your phone now. We have a next question from the line of Aishwarya Dave from iThought. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Yes, we can hear you. Please go ahead.
Yes. So I have two questions. One question was the earlier question which someone asked about the average selling price. If you could not give us the actual price, could you give us a tentative price in comparison with the rivals in the current market? And second question would be, since you're starting out with steel bottles, are there any other segments in the steel, like the tiffin box or anything else, are you guys planning to enter as well?
Yeah, so thank you. Yes, from the price point perspective, we will be very competitive. Since we have our own manufacturing base, we will be very competitive when you talk and when we compare to the other players in the market. Analyzing that is the reason why we entered into this category. And second part, when you said about the additional range of products which are similar to this particular category. So yes, of course, this avenue does have an opportunity to open up other steel related products which are similar in the stationery or the lunch boxes category. So going forward, as the opportunity arises, we will look into exploring these particular categories as well.
Okay, thank you so much.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Pushpendu Chand, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Yeah, am I audible?
Yes.
Yeah. So my first question is, if I understood correctly or heard correctly the CFO, sir, he said that in FY23, in the first half, we made a profit of around 48 crore. And is that correct? Is that number correct? In the H1 FY23, we made a profit of around 48 crore?
Yes, these are the unaudited numbers of FY23 first half.
Correct. So, and if I see the total profit of FY23, and that was coming around 118 odd crore. So which gives that in H2 of FY23, you made a profit of around 70 crore. So 48 crore in H1 and 70 crore in H2. So if I break this as a proportion, so 40% comes from H1 and 60% comes from H2. So would you continue the same ratio for FY24 as well?
See, as I explained previously also, from 2017 to 23, we normally grow at the CAGR of 14 to 15%, and a similar growth rate we actually plan to have in the future years also. In terms of the EBITDA margin, as I have mentioned, we plan to have in the range of 20 to 21%.
Correct, because when I compare the H1 figures of 23 and 24, the profit grows at 35% in H1 versus H1. So are we likely to continue the same strike rate of 35% profit growth for FY24 as a whole?
See, this being a forward-looking statement, I cannot comment on that part. But as I mentioned, we will be growing at what we have grown in previous years.
Fine. No, so the proportion that 40 to 60, would that continue also, or there would be certain changes also? Like 45 and 55 is something, I think, what you were referring in your initial comments.
Yes.
Okay, fine. The second question is on interest cost saving. I think we have already said around 90 odd crore you have paid back towards loan. So how would that impact on your overall interest saving for the full year going forward?
See, by repayment of this, actually for the full year of FY25,
we plan to reduce the interest by 10 to 12 crore.
10 to 12 crore, fine. And the third question is, I think you were referring that the bottle line, what you have manufactured, what you have already set up, line one, and for that you are already tied up with your OEMs. So I wanted to understand that what percent of that capacity has been already booked by OEM, so that whenever you start manufacturing or selling rather, once the proving is done, so the capacity would be completely then full on swing. So what percentage of capacity will be utilized by these OEMs or rather already booked by them?
So if I talk about the overall three lines as an overall capacity that we have already put a CapEx into, so out of that one and a half line to almost two lines is almost booked by the OEM customer. And the remaining one and a half line, because why I'm saying half, because it depends on the product mix that we manufacture. So remaining one and a half line will give us an opportunity for the domestic market and also to explore other OEM or other export markets that we plan to enter into.
Right. So the line one, which is primarily made for OEMs, so which means that is 100% fully booked by OEMs the moment you start manufacturing bottles from them, once you have a sales order from them, right?
Right.
Right. And this line one revenue contribution would start to flow in on your P&L from Q4 FY24 or from Q1 FY25?
I think Q4, the revenue will start coming in, and of course, the major part of revenue will start from 2024. 2024-25.
Right. Fine then. These were the only questions. So congratulations and thanks for the question. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Deepak Lalwani from Unifi Capital. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity, sir. Just wanted to clarify that our growth rate in the pen segment was 13%, split between volume growth of 3% and realization of 10%, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So if you can just give some thoughts on how the pen category has grown domestically and in the export, and how has the export pen grown at?
See, export basically, if you take our brand as such, our brands are growing in the export market also. In terms of if you look at the Hauser, Flair, and Pierre Cardin, and the Creative brand, we have grown roughly by 20% in the export market also, in terms of our volume share.
So that means our domestic growth would be in the single digit number, right?
No.
So domestic share has also increased in double digit. And when we mention about the export market, our own OEM business compared to our own brand business, that has significantly taken an upward scale in terms of the export market. So our percentage of overall export business, which was contributing to 49% of our own brands, has risen to 58% currently of our own brands in the export market. And from the overall perspective, the current mix of overall revenue is 80-20. So 80% is domestic and 20% is export contribution.
Yeah.
Sure. Got it. So, sir, if I would ask you for a sense on the volume growth in the core segment of pens, should we assume a low single digit, like a 3%-5% in pens, given the industry dynamics, or is there something which would probably be work in progress from your side, which on the distribution side or on the product side, which can push this number up?
So from the pen perspective, yes, it will be in the range of 4%-5%. But also going forward, when we increase the Creative range of products into the domestic market, that will have a significant share as well in the overall revenue of volume and value growth.
Sure. Sure. And this 4%-5% would be the domestic growth, right? The export pen growth, I'm assuming, should be higher given the low base and
Yes.
And our branded sales.
Few percentage higher, yeah.
Sure, sir. Thank you. Thank you for this. Those are my questions.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Dhavan Shah from AlfAccurate Advisors. Please go ahead.
Sir, my question is on the pen segment. So can you share the revenue breakup between, you know, the mass segment, mid-premium, and then premium? What is the revenue mix?
See, as previously mentioned, we have a healthy mix of the mid-premium and the premium segment, but this data is actually competitive sensitive, so we are not able to share the data.
Okay. In the export business, is it fair to assume that the majority of the revenue, like the 20% which you have shared, is mainly from the mid-premium and premium side of the business?
So again, even in the export market, it's a combination, and we always try to keep that, you know, product mix, not only in the domestic segment, but also in the, you know, export segment. So we always try to maintain, you know, the healthy mix of mass as compared to mid-premium and premium as a category. So that is our strategy as a company, which, you know, we try to do it for domestic as well as for the export market.
But going forward, what is our strategy? I mean, in terms of the, you know, internal target, what kind of revenue mix do you foresee? I mean, don't share the number, but, is it fair to assume that the premium side of the business can grow at around 20-30%? Is there any internal benchmark?
So internal benchmark is always to keep a healthy, you know, a balance between the mass and the mid-premium and premium. But also going forward, we do always concentrate on premiumization. And we will be looking towards increasing and maintaining the product portfolio more towards the premiumization, not only in the pen category, but also in the stationery category. And
see, in FY23, out of the total 151 products launched, 77 were in the premium category.
And what is the market acceptance for those products?
So market acceptance is good. As you see, the overall growth of the industry has happened, and overall growth of our particular, you know, revenue has also increased. So the mix has always been our strength. And going forward, we will definitely, you know, continue with that strategy in our mind.
And this 10% growth which you have shared in terms of the realization, so how much of that is because of the changes in the product mix?
See, that also being a competitive data, we would not like to share in the open forum as such.
But is it fair to assume that around more than 50% is because of the product mix changes?
Yes, definitely. Because see, ultimately the company's strategy is to have a premium for products launches also. Yeah.
And this Flair Creative, which you have, you know, launched in the first half of this year. So this is for the export market or domestic business?
So Flair Creative was launched in the end of 2021, almost, to be precise, almost in the month of November of 2021. Since then it has been launched. And last year the revenue was 112 crores from this particular brand.
Okay. Okay. And how has been the growth for the first half?
20%.
20% is the growth currently.
And the margins in this segment?
The margin is on the similar lines, and one of the reasons to get into this manufacturing base is to strengthen that, you know, bottom line also in the creative range.
Okay. Okay. And the steel business can give us 150 crore kind of the top line, right? From all the three lines? Based on your asset turn which you have shared.
You can cancel it.
Okay. Okay, sir. Thank you, sir. Thank you. Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Sanjay Nandi from VT Capital Market. Please go ahead.
Thank you, sir, for the opportunity. So, sir, like currently our per capita consumption of the stationery product is very near in India. It's insignificant. Okay, compared to the world per capita consumption. So going forward, if we presume that the world will shift from these Chinese products to the exporting or importing Indian products, so what kind of export shift can we expect in next 4 to 5 years down the line on a, like, on a long perspective?
I mean, rightfully so, the trend in domestic also is changing. So people are preferring more and more homegrown or made in India kind of a product range. And as a China Plus One strategy for a lot of other export market as well, this is the, you know, we are one of the other base from the global market perspective who are getting into the manufacturing of the creative range. So going forward, not only for the export, also for the domestic market, this particular category will grow. And like you rightfully said, that as compared to the global market, India is still a very small consumer of these products. But looking along the years, this category is increasing drastically in the domestic market as well.
Okay, sir. So that's it from my section. Thank you so much for your time and wish you all the very best and happy new year.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, everyone, for taking some time.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, in the interest of time, we'll take that as the last question. I now hand over the call to Mr. Vimal Chand for closing comments. Over to you, sir.
Thank you, everyone, for taking some time out of your day to participate in the call. In case of any queries, reach out to our investor relation advisors, Orient Capital. We wish you all the best and hope to interact with you in the coming quarters. Thank you very much.
Wishing you Merry Christmas and Happy New Year.
Thank you, members of the management team.
Thank you.
On behalf of Flair Writing Industries Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.